The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
A great big Merry Christmas to you and your family, listening friend. It's a great day to answer the question, how is Jesus David's son if Joseph wasn't his biological father? And are Christmas trees wrong? This is Grace in Focus and glad to have you with us today. This is a ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is always available to you at faithalone.org. Please take a look at our conference ministry there and plan to be with us for our national conference in May the 17th through the 22nd, 2025. That is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
Okay, Sam, I think we have several questions related to Christmas. I hope we're ready for this because people tend to ask questions about Christmas that there's no direct answer in the Bible, but let's see what you got.
Yeah, I've been collecting some Christmas-related questions from the email. So some of them aren't super explicit to Christmas, but kind of about the Christmas story. But first up, we have a question from Joshua, and he's asking, should Christians celebrate Christmas according to Jeremiah 10, verses 3 and 4, which I'll read real quick.
Okay.
It says, well, I'll start with verse 2. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands and of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. So that, based on that, it sounds kind of like they're talking about a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's talking about the chapter 10 goes on. It's talking about idols and idol worship. And he stresses how, you know, that idol that they make has to be carried around by men. It can't move on its own. They claim it's a god, but it's going to be destroyed under heaven and earth, and that's going to pass away, even though the true God made the heavens and the earth, and he won't pass away.
Yeah, I don't think he was talking about a Christmas tree there, and idols, Christmas trees aren't idols. People aren't worshiping Christmas trees. But the question is from Joshua, or it's about the book of Joshua?
From Joshua, about the book of Jeremiah.
Oh, it's about Jeremiah. Okay. So Jeremiah is not talking there about Christmas trees and not condemning Christmas trees. I have no problem with people having Christmas trees and putting the lights on as long as they realize this is nothing commanded in Scripture, and it really doesn't have any connection with Jesus or keeping Christ in Christmas. It's more tradition that's developed in our country, but it can be fun for kids, it can be fun for adults, and if you like that, that's fine. I don't get into, you know, you see people who have their whole house filled with lights, and they're spending a lot of money on these lights. Not just to buy them, but then they get people putting them up each year, and they're paying a lot of money to have people. I don't get that, but I do appreciate some fun. And so if people are having fun with putting up a tree and decorating it, that's fine. But it's, you know, originally I think evergreens were kind of a sign of fertility, and a lot of, I think, cults would have some sort of symbolism with evergreen trees, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting history. I'd encourage people to go look into it because it's been controversial, especially in the past few years. People that think they're historians coming out saying it's, you know, it's all pagan worship, so we need to get rid of Christmas trees. But there's a long history to it. I would encourage people to go out, seek the information out for yourself. But at the end of the day, like you said, if you're not worshiping your Christmas tree, then it's not an idol. It's just a decoration and a tradition. If you're not, you know, celebrating the birth of Jesus and you're not putting Christ at the center of your Christmas holidays or whatever, then, you know, it's something that's taking away from what it's supposed to be, celebrating the birth of our Savior.
Right.
So that's the issue. But it could be a Christmas tree. It could be a stocking. It could be an angel on the top of your tree, whatever. If that's more important to you than Jesus, then that's the issue, not what the object is.
Right. Okay, and then you got a second question, I think, from, is it Robert?
Yep, from Robert. How does Jesus fit into the bloodline to the throne of Israel if Joseph wasn't his father?
So what he's talking about is that in Matthew's gospel, we have the genealogy of Jesus. And in fact, Matthew says, of whom was born Jesus, and the of whom is feminine. So it's referring to Mary. And Mary was in the line of Messiah through David. So she has a Davidic ancestry, and so was Joseph. But Joseph's line has the problem that he goes through Jeconiah. And there was a curse on the king, Jeconiah, that none of his descendants would sit on the throne of David. And so what had to happen was Jesus had to go to the line of David through Mary. Now, theoretically, Joseph didn't have to be in the line of David, as far as I can tell, but he was. And yes, he's not Jesus's father, a birth father. He did raise him, but he's not his birth father. So what's Robert's question? How do we rationalize this or harmonize it?
He says, how does he fit into the bloodline? But I guess the simple answer would be Mary is the blood relative that's related to the line of David.
Right. And Joseph is more like his adoptive father or his stepfather, something like that. There's a number of articles. You can go online and ask this question, and you'll see lots and lots of articles dealing with it. But the main point is there's no contradiction. One some people have a problem with is that the two genealogies in Matthew and Luke are not identical. Well, hello, that's because one goes through Mary and one goes through Joseph.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
And our last question is from Lance, and his question is, how on earth did John the Baptist not know Jesus? And he's referencing that Elizabeth and Mary knew each other, so why would Jesus and John the Baptist not know each other, meet each other, be aware of each other, since they were, he calls them cousins.
They were cousins, yeah. I believe those references are in John chapter 1, where John the Baptist is baptizing Jesus. And what does he say there?
Yeah, 1:31, he says, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And what was the second verse?
I think John 1:33 also.
Yeah, he says again, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me. Then he goes on. So
when he sees the Spirit a light on Jesus, he knows this is the Messiah. But the him is not so much like, what's the previous reference from verse 31 that he's talking about Messiah?
This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. Oh, yeah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's in 29.
Yeah, so he's basically saying this is the Messiah who's also the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53. And essentially what he's saying is he didn't know this was the Messiah suffering servant. He is not necessarily saying, he might be saying he didn't even know Jesus. He didn't know who he was, didn't know his name, didn't know this was his cousin. That's certainly possible. But I would agree with Lance, that's unlikely. It's quite probable that John the Baptist knew his name was Jesus, or we would say Joshua or Yeshua, but that's not the same as saying he knew he was the Messiah. This was his cousin. It's like Jesus' own brothers didn't know he was the Messiah, right? They could have said this.
Yeah.
They could have said, you know, once they came to faith, they could have said, well, we didn't know this was the Messiah until after we saw more evidence and after it became clear. But at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and well into his ministry, even his own brothers didn't believe in him. Now, John the Baptist clearly believed in the coming Messiah for his eternal destiny prior to knowing Jesus was that person. But it's a different question as to when he knew that Jesus is the Messiah, and that was at his baptism. Now, Simeon and Anna knew that at Jesus when he was brought into the temple at 40 days old.
Mary definitely knew based on and the angel and everything that happened.
She had lots of indications, and the Magnificat in Luke 1 where she describes her blessedness, etc. Yeah, she understands she's giving birth to the Messiah.
So then I guess the confusion would be, did she not talk to Elizabeth or did she not evangelize herself? I mean, we don't have the answer because it's not contained in the Bible, but I can see why this is kind of confusing, why his family members wouldn't have known.
Well, and even Elizabeth, when Mary comes in, John the Baptist is jumping in Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth announces that she recognizes this is the mother of the Lord. And so why doesn't Elizabeth tell John the Baptist? I don't know. These are good questions. I welcome any of you if you have the answer. I would say it was basically, you know, you would have the same issue with Jesus' own brothers. Why didn't Mary talk with them about it, etc.? I suppose one possibility is that Mary and Elizabeth both understood this was a special child, but didn't understand it was the Messiah. Maybe they thought this was a great prophet, that this was going to be a mighty man of God, but didn't understand this was the Messiah, the suffering servant. The evidence was there. I mean, Simeon had indicated to Mary that Jesus was going to be killed. And, that, you know, it seems to me the evidence was sufficient for Mary and Elizabeth to know this, but maybe they didn't. And if they did, why didn't they share it?
Yeah, but it could, again, we don't really know what they knew. We just know what's written in the Bible, but we have enough, so.
Right, exactly. So I guess the key to our Christmas show here is to keep Christ in Christmas and don't get all caught up in the presents, the trees, the Santa Claus, the, you know, all of the gift buying and all of the commercialization of Christmas. And let's definitely not happy holidays. Let's Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
And even Christmas I don't like that much because it's Christ Mass.
I guess. I like to think of it as a lot of Christ.
Like in the Spanish, Mas Christ?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very good. All right, well, thanks so much, everybody, and keep grace
in focus.
Amen.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, how exactly right does my theology need to be saved? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.